You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Timothy Glenn. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulled all the way down. Like many of us, he never fit into the real world. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training and performance prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. He has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings, which I highly recommend. He has written an e-book titled The Zephyrus Archives, Volume 1, Mission of Eternity. You can find out more on his website at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So let's welcome Timothy back to the show now. Hi, Timothy. How are you? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Amused.
Yeah, how good. Ever. Wonderful. We didn't lose you right away. So what has been happening in your life lately, and what do you see coming up on your visual screen that you view life on?
Oh, well, the screen is really amusing, and a lot of what I'm doing is simply cruising through the middle of the insanity and enjoying the show. It's
right,
immensely
right.
Entertaining. You know, if we approach it in a state of neutrality and that beautiful detachment that comes with the truly unconditional love, then we can really enjoy the show here because it is getting amusing.
Well, what can you give us some examples of that?
Well, we could talk about all the political stuff. We might touch on that at some point, but that's a real circus. But what's going on in the sky is fascinating, and not just astrologically, you know, what we've known in our astrology, but we have incoming. We've got other celestial bodies that the system is trying very hard to conceal from everybody.
Hmm.
But there are those of us who've been watching this for a long time, and some people have YouTube channels and whatever else, and and it's amazing what they've been showing us just up there in the skies. And before long, we're not going to need all the high tech and the big telescopes or whatever to be able to see these things. We're going to be looking right up in the sky at it.
Hmm.
So it's pretty interesting.
Well, I already see some pretty strange things up in the night sky already, so I'm guessing it can only get stranger.
Count on that.
Yeah. Okay. All righty.
And, of course, you know, with other celestial bodies coming closer to the Earth, they are, of course, having this electromagnetic interplay. And we've got a couple things coming in with very strong magnetism.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that pulls on the Earth. And as you might know, magma has a pretty high iron content.
Mm.
And so that's being pulled to the surface.
Aha, that makes sense.
Yes. And now, you had Dr. Richard Allen Miller on the show not too long ago.
Yes.
Doc Ram, yeah. Very entertaining.
Thank you.
Yes. And the other day, he was saying that that the big island deep down under is actually splitting at this time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, we have to remember that those are volcanic islands. They're not like solid rock that just got pushed up out of the mantle. You know, they get slowly built up volcano, you know, eruption after eruption through who knows how many centuries or millennia. And so
it's
layered, and those layers are at angles, you know, like dripping down. So it's not like somebody super glued them all together.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, they're not as solid as people might want to think. And if we get enough rock and roll, With the Earth changes here, we're going to see a different arrangement of those islands and a lot of other islands, and especially coastlines all over the planet, and who knows what else.
Well, yes, that's a big question. Who knows what else? There have been futurists who have drawn futurist maps, and they show us what it might look like in the future. And I think even the Navy has drawn maps. But the one that stands out is Lori Toy, the housewife who had a being guide her to draw precisely what he was trying to get her to draw, and it's quite interesting to see where things are supposed to end up.
And where do you end up on that map?
Well, I'll either be, it looks like most of California is gone, and right before you get to this area, Placerville, there is a clump of land, which is where I live, and then everything else is gone. I think the middle of the United States splits around where the Mississippi is, and
yeah, that's the New Madrid Fault.
Oh yeah, every coastline is affected. I mean, there's nothing that isn't changed along the coast of all the, in the entire world. And the funny thing is that Lori's maps they kind of map over the ones done by the military and the ones done by the other futurist. I can't remember his name now, but he. He also drew those maps, and they're very,
Gordon
very similar.
Michael Scallion.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah, Gordon Michael Scallion.
Yeah, so, we can sit down and compare those maps. Now, I've seen maps done by some of the scientists that show that the Sierra Nevada mountains remain above water, and they are a peninsula shaped kind of like the Baja Peninsula.
Oh, wow.
The western part of California is in the drink.
Right.
Yeah, with a few islands, you know, like along the coastal range, some of the higher peaks will remain above the surface, and those will be islands.
Well, the thing is, if this area does remain, and I'm on solid land, there is the tsunami to consider.
Minor detail.
Because, you know, that's after the tsunami washes everything away.
Exactly.
So it's not just going to go around us, and I don't know quite yet how that's supposed to work out, but one has to have trust that it will all work out as it's supposed to.
Right, and if it's going to be washed out, you just won't be there.
I just won't be here. That's right.
Yeah, no problem. Just trust spirit, and you'll
exactly.
be in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing, and it will be fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, you might even be on a ship. Who knows?
Oh, well, we are on a ship. It's called Earth.
Well, yeah. But Earth ship is getting rocked here, so we might want to jump aboard another ship here.
Right.
But we'll see how it all plays out. We don't know what will happen, which is the part of the fun.
Right. That does make it exciting. You know, when you go to an amusement park and you ride the wildest ride, before you get on there, you have, you know, no idea what it's going to be like, so it's really thrilling. But after your 50th round, it's not quite as surprising.
Yeah, you're sitting there thinking about other things.
Right. Doing your nails.
Yeah. So the U.S. Navy has done multiple maps because, of course, it's all conjecture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least a lot of it is conjecture. We can take it for granted some of these major fault lines are going to collapse. And so they have their maps and their ideas of what they are planning for. And then, I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was John Moore, one of those researchers, said somebody had asked him, is there a correlation between Planet X and the Ozark Mountains
mm-hmm.
and the U.S. Navy.
Yeah.
And he said yes, because this guy worked in the insurance industry, and he realized that everybody who retires from the U.S. Navy high brass all move into the Ozarks.
Huh.
Yeah, and that's because, first of all, they want to be on the Great American Craton, where it's supposedly going to be stable and safer, but also they want to be near the new coastline.
Well, it looks like the new coastline goes along Colorado and Arizona.
Yeah, and there is also what we could call a coastline that is currently the Mississippi River.
Yes, absolutely.
Because on all those maps, that is what we would call the Mississippi Seaway.
Right.
Yeah, on those maps, it looks plenty wide enough that you would not be able to see the other side of the river.
Right. It's a huge, at the opening to the ocean, it's quite huge.
Yeah, but it's going to be like all the way up to Wisconsin. So, yeah, of course, now some people will say, well, what can we as meager humans do to prepare? Well, first of all, stop identifying yourself as a meager little human.
Right.
As we've discussed many, many times, there is only the one infinite energy field. You can call it God, Spirit, Universe, Omniverse, anything you want to call it. In physics, they simply call it the field. And everybody and everything is the field. So if we approach everything here as the field, we will be in a position to step into our creatorship. And we will no longer be giving our power away to external forces. And actually, something, God, I just flashed on this, Lance. Last night, something happened. It hasn't happened in a long time. I was meeting with this group of people, and we ended up with a Proterian channeling.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes, and they're talking about, okay, well, let's find a spot in town here when we can get together, and we'll actually start doing the public channelings again.
Oh, great. I love those.
Yeah. And so in the midst of that, you know, the Proterians were talking about all of this, and it was, of course, their usual amusing take on it, but they, too, definitely see the major Earth changes and remind us all that we are the field. We are not merely pathetic little snotlings from 3D planet Earth. And so as we step into our creatorship, we have to remember that volcanoes are external forces. Earthquakes are external forces. Tornadoes, hurricanes, all of that. It's all external forces. Are we going to continue surrendering our divine creative power to external forces, no matter what they are? Yeah. So, but as some of us have said for years when we're asked, well, what can we do? What can we do? The number one preparation is our spiritual preparation, no matter how it plays out.
Right.
Yeah, how can anything outweigh the importance of that?
It would be hard to find something.
I haven't found it yet, have you?
Nope.
All right.
I mean, there are lots of cheap substitutes, and there are lots of distractions from it. But, you know, those are all designed to be dead-end roads that we get trapped on.
Well, sure, that's the whole purpose. And the old cabal that has controlled this planet for millennia certainly have learned how to play the game of distraction.
Oh, haven't they ever.
Yes, and they're doing it on steroids now because really they're backed into a corner. And, you know, it's like game over for them.
Well, do you say that they're backed into a corner because of the information that is getting out about this, about everything, or...
Well, that's a big part of it, because
it,
when the people are left in the dark and they're propagandized, they're mesmerized, they're programmed, etc., they're easier to control.
Right.
But in my most recent article, I mentioned that there are just way too many ordinary folk-type humans who know too much at this point.
Yes.
And those who still believe the lies that are spewed on the, you know, on the television, you know, the talking heads, the cabals, propaganda machine, those networks, you know, that's a rapidly shrinking minority now. And some of them are clinging very desperately because they would rather not know the truth, because then the truth, of course, shows them that what they've believed in so ardently has been a real crock.
Right. and that's one of the reasons why there's so much denial about conspiracy theories, quote-unquote, because most of them are facts. And if anybody allows just one of those theories to come into their belief system, the whole system crumbles.
Yes. And we just had the anniversary of 9/11.
Oh, brother.
Speaking of conspiracies. The Proterians also had something interesting, and I've heard some of this elsewhere. except they have a little change in terminology that they're using for us. And that is, like, we talk about timelines, so we keep shifting timelines and so forth. Uh-huh. But they say there are, like bigger timelines that would be like bundles of cables, you know. Huh. So there's lots of timelines within what they call a time track.
Huh.
And we have been thrown off our previous time track two times by being extremely traumatized. Happened in the U.S. both times, but it, you know, carries off, you know, domino effect out into the world. And the first was the JFK assassination.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, it shifted things so radically, it actually put us on a completely different time track, a completely different set of timelines.
Mm.
And then 9/11 was the second one. It took us off on yet another time track, veering us even farther from where we thought we were going. But adjustments are being made now, and there's tremendous awakening all over the place. Of course, the Earth herself is coming to a greater level of awakening, and lots and lots of entities getting involved on all kinds of different levels.
Yeah. Well, can you give an example of that, what they might be up to?
Who's they?
The entities.
The entities, okay, a different kind of entity that most people don't think about. I just had a meeting yesterday with someone who works with the Awakening Dragons.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because, you know, we also have dragon ancestry.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, as the Praetorians say, we are the genetic repository of the galactic family. There have been so many different ET groups here splicing their own genetics in.
Oh, yeah.
But what they point out is we've got the genetic structures of just about everybody in us.
Wow.
And if we can live in this fear, in this darkness, in this ignorance, and the greed, and the corruption, and all this crap, you know, just the fear and the darkness and the pain of what we've known for thousands of years, and if we can take that and go, shoo, right up into the love and the wisdom and the power of the omniverse, we have just done that with everybody's genetic structures in this entire galaxy and everywhere else, all around, because, you know, we're all related. But especially for this galaxy, we could really serve as a tremendous catalyst. So
right.
That would be fun.
And way showers for maybe other galaxies, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure this isn't the first time that something like this has happened, and it may not even be the first time that we, as, you know, other entities throughout time and space, have done this.
No, it's a pretty old game here.
Yeah, very old.
Yes, right.
It's getting too old.
Right, but, you know, there was this one last round of play in the game, and a lot of us decided to come in for it, because it contains the opportunity to experience a literal quantum leap in evolution, which is a rush.
I like that.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, this is when the species' bioquantum potential gets activated, and that, when activated, allows us literally to access quantum level and bring out whatever frequency patterning we want to take us to our chosen next level of evolutionary experience. And just stop and think, okay, how much limitation do you suppose there would be at quantum level?
Oh, it doesn't seem like there would be much at all, if any.
Well, if you ever find any, let the rest of us know.
Right. It seems like it'd be pretty much infinite and eternal.
Well, it sure would be. And so the only limitation that could be placed on us would be placed there by whom?
By us. By you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, me.
Yeah. Now, there are some who say that we are only limited by our own imaginations in that type of scenario. But the Praetorians admitted that they're kind of like party poopers when they throw in another one. Yeah. They said, yes, you're limited by your own imagination, but you're also limited by what you're capable of accepting as reality.
Right. Yep.
Because we might be able to imagine something, but can we really get ourselves to accept it as reality? Even though we might really love the concept, our mental body goes, yeah, wow, cool, we get it totally. But then what is your emotional body doing in reaction to it? And if your emotional body isn't accepting it, how the hell are you going to get it in your physical body?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that makes sense. And, of course, if there's any bit of fear, that completely lowers your vibration.
Yeah, good old fear, our old friend, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Proterian also said that fear is nothing more than divine love that is currently ignorant of its own truth.
Mm, that's nice.
Yes, because it's all part of the field.
Right,
Doesn't matter what we think of. We can complain about the Matrix and all the beings who are in it. We can talk about various technical intelligence, artificial intelligence, and reptilians and all these other beings and go, ooh, these are the bad guys or whatever. But ultimately, it's all just part of the field.
Mm-hmm.
The Matrix is part of the field. The cosmic matrix and every little matrix within it, including the Earth Matrix, is just part of the field. And so the fear, the anger, the grief, all those things are simply divine energy currently stuck in a pattern that we would not consider to be user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's simply a matter of setting that energy free. Because really, that energy just wants to get set free so it can go back into the flow of the natural universe.
Right, right. Otherwise, it's stuck and stagnant.
What? current events? history of planet Earth over how many thousands of years here? Yes.
Oh, yeah. It does seem to be one repetitive cycle after another.
Yeah, the status quo for a long time. But the beings that have been operative in holding this together are now themselves starting to fall apart. And their control grid is really beginning to crumble. And it's going all the way down into the petty interactions of Earthlings.
Mm.
Mm. And in my recent article, I did mention that, you're going to start seeing revelations on what really goes on behind the curtain. The corporate world and the political world, the banksters and so on and so forth. We're going to really start seeing it.
Well, they already have started showing it in the form of films, such as there's one called Arrow that reveals the corporate tyranny and the way that things are concealed and murders are done willy-nilly. And so it's kind of in the field of our imagination.
Oh, yeah, it's been out there. Because remember, they always have to tell us. They always have to show us. That's part of their code.
Yep.
And if we don't do anything about it, then it's on us, not on them.
Yep, and movies and television shows are but one of the ways that they get us to accept without being conscious of it what's coming.
Yeah, and so, and unconscious is the right word there, because unconsciously people end up signing a contract for that.
Yes, yes.
And that just means they got conned into signing a tract. And the terms of the tract are not necessarily user-friendly.
Right, right. And who reads all the lines of an agreement anyway whenever we bring up a new software thing and they said, read the following, and you can scroll down about 100 yards till your eyes glaze over and are turned red. Nobody reads those things, so, are we to blame?
Yeah, but those games are coming to an end. That's the good old game of deception here. And it's going to come to the point that there will be so many people so awakened in so many different areas that this old planetary game is simply going to come to its much deserved end.
Mm-hmm. Do you foresee any kind of turbulence in terms of the destruction that goes on during that period?
Well, now which kind of destruction do you want to talk about first?
Oh, okay. Well, there's natural destruction, and then, of course, we know that the military and others control the weather and can create typhoons and hurricanes and the various other things.
And they can enhance something like Hurricane Florence, yes.
Right. And then there are atomic bombs, of course, which too many have gone off already. I think we're at the tilting point in case and many more go off, the Earth can only handle so much radiation, and I think we're just beyond that end point.
Okay, so let's start off with our unnatural disasters, because some of them, actually, it's to the point now, are any of them really natural? Because with the HAARP machines and everything else that they've got playing around for all this weather manipulation and whatever else, and also, like, you know, did you ever read Technical Manual 395 about what they wanted for HAARP up in Alaska when it was formed?
I might have glanced through it, but I don't think I read the whole thing.
Okay, like a billion watts of microwave energy?
Right, right.
What are you going to do generating a billion watts of microwave energy? Well, you can aim it up into the sky and hit it later, like, you know, okay, you hit the ionosphere and you actually bend that part of the atmosphere and then you turn it off and then it snaps back and that causes an earthquake right below it.
Right.
Where you're aiming. So, I mean, even something like an earthquake can be triggered by something like that.
Oh, yes, yes.
They don't even have to, you know, put a nuke down inside a fault line and blow it up, you know. So, yeah, there can be lots of that kind of manipulation. But before it gets to that point, it looks like the cabal is going to lose its grip. It's lost much of its grip already.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. Yeah, and you see, this is where our consciousness can really play a role, because traditionally, the cabal has had events staged. It's like somebody like George Soros pays a bunch of thugs and idiots to start rioting and doing property damage and whatever else in Ukraine, and they keep the cameras off until finally the police start cracking down, and then they portray the story of, gee, look what this evil regime is doing to these innocent protesters.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, they spin their narrative, and they get everybody who believes in them, and beyond, people who might even doubt the official story, they'll say, oh, there's going to be all that trouble in Ukraine, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, then your divine creative energy goes into feeding that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how we end up getting manipulated into creating what we don't want.
Right, right.
So when it comes to, like, forecasts of something like, like Hurricane Florence, it's like, I am not going to feed into that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say, oh, it's going to be horrible, it's going to be terrible. However, we've got all these hundreds of millions of people out there saying exactly that, and they don't understand. They are feeding into it and helping create it.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So I think we're kind of like done with the old game here. But as soon as you see through the trick, well, that's it. Well, you know that old saying, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Yeah, well, it's going to get to the point where it's like, no, we fell for that trick before. We're done.
And we had practically every trick in the book pulled on us a number of times.
Yeah, except that their book is limited.
Yes.
Yes, I do mention that in that recent article, which is called Autumn 2018, The Dominoes Begin to Fall. And you can find that on Laura Bruno's blog, or on my new website I do have an articles page, and I have a bunch of old articles on there, but also there's a link to go to Laura Bruno's blog. You can just go in there, type my name into the search, and everything pertinent or by me will come up in order of most recent. So the most recent one is Autumn 2018, The Dominoes Begin to Fall. And so I discuss all this fun stuff in there. And I'm kind of jazzed about where we are right now, because we are truly seeing an awakening, and it's just, like, finally.
right. Well, you know, I had a friend on the Internet who was Gerard Trost, I think his name was, and he was in his 70s, and he wrote some incredible metaphysical articles, and I think his site is still up, and people can visit it, but... He described what it was like to be that old and to have awakened when he was younger. There was nobody he could talk to.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said that he felt like he was the only person on the planet who had had his point of view. And, of course, that changed over the years. And by the time he passed, there were quite a few that were around. around and gathering.
Yeah, I had my so-called red pill experience in high school.
Oh.
I was 15 years old. And so by the time I was 17, I had come to that conclusion I've mentioned before, that television was a weapon being used for social engineering by beings who do not have our best interests at heart. And so that's when I determined I would never own a television.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never owned one, never subscribed to a newspaper or a news magazine or any of that. I understood the system is just propaganda. It is programming.
Yes. Yes, there isn't as much that isn't.
Right. And so, yeah, I can relate with your friend there because I went for a long time kind of feeling like the Lone Ranger, because people who understood these things were few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even back then, can you imagine in the mid-60s being a kid and trying to get across to people that both of these major parties are owned and operated by the same financial interests up at the top of that that infamous pyramid scheme,
right?
That's constantly playing game of divide and conquer, and the real issues are never addressed.
Right, and we're distracted by something else usually that gets our focus and attention.
Yeah, so the game of distraction is really big, because anytime their criminal machinations are real close to being exposed, well, what do?
A terrorist event, perhaps?
Sure, yeah. Mass shooting, terrorist event, or an enhanced hurricane, or whatever. You know, they'll pull off something, and they'll go as far to start major wars. They'll do it. And now, you're probably aware of who Jesse Ventura is, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. Now, Jesse Ventura had said years ago that he had done years and years and years of historical research, because he just loves studying history, and he was not able to find in history a single war that was not started by some staged event. Because humans just don't spontaneously decide, oh, hey, why don't we all get together and attack those people?
Right, right.
You know, that just doesn't happen. And some people say, well, what about World War II? What about Pearl Harbor? And they don't even understand that that was a provoked attack? Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know about that, just Google McCollum Memo, also known as the 8-Action Memo. Yeah, the Lieutenant Commander Arthur McCollum was commissioned to put together this game plan, and he came out with 8 points of action to be taken to provoke Japan into attacking, because they would have no choice.
Mm.
And then, of course, it's like we would conveniently have the movie cameras all set up to watch that. And, of course, it was like World War One ships and all these junkers, some of them even had to be towed over there from the West Coast and put in there. And then the good ships were all taken out of there, and they taken, like, to Midway Island. It's just like, it was like, folks, you've been lied to all your lives, even before you were born. Your parents were born swimming around in this ubiquitous ocean of lies. Oh, what a world, huh?
Really? Really?
Yeah.
And since we were born into it, we can't see the forest or the trees.
Well, that's the way it's been, but it seems that it's all shifting now. Because there really are a lot of people getting wise to the game. And isn't this really just part of what we had outlined and planned on?
I would think so.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have all the kids that are coming in incarnations that have described and remember their previous jobs or their previous life, their life experiences, which some of them have been highly technical. Trainers or builders of various light ships and things that are way beyond our present capability right now. Although if you follow the information that's on the breakaway civilization, we may be pretty close to that already.
Yeah, your friend Mary Rodwell has dealt with a lot of these kids who simply remember living in these other solar systems and and doing all this incredible stuff. And when I remember there was one, it's like, well, how is that done? And the little kid just says, oh, you wouldn't understand.
I love that one. That's a great story.
Yeah, the kid, you know, designing the, you know, some light ship or whatever. And
right.
Like, oh, I used to make these when I lived in the Orion system.
It must be a little difficult for some of those kids to be in such a backward civilization.
Oh, it's weird. I mean, because you're considering that we've got a lot of older souls coming in, and this is essentially just like a baby soul planet.
Mm.
You know, the prison planet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. A nine-dimensional matrix.
Yes, and one of my old teachers used to refer to it as the ash can of the universe.
Well, like not far off there.
It was like a penal colony. You know, any souls that just couldn't, learn to live harmoniously in their system were just shipped off to one of the prison planets, and this was one of them.
Huh. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. But the Grand Awakening is really happening. And the thing is, I forget, in fact, the guy's name was Timothy. I forget his last name. You had him on just like in the last week or two. He was talking about how using like old Vedic terms and so forth, you know, from the Vedas and so forth. But, you know, everything is the field. And so everybody, doesn't matter who you are in the scheme of this, it doesn't matter if you're a young soul, baby soul, or whatever, you are the field. You can fully awaken to your existence as the divine creator itself. Everybody can do that. He had said you don't have to go through, you know, the levels of initiation and so forth. You could just go into that grand awakening. However, those of us who've been through the programs, following those systems of spiritual practice and getting the initiations and going step by step, realize that if it were all showered on us, we would probably just short circuit.
Right.
But we will trust that people now will be able to awaken more swiftly and not have that kind of disruption. Because when we were going through it, it was like back in the Dark Ages.
Right.
You know, and the planet's energy field was not exactly conducive for that.
That's like Plato's allegory of the cave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's still apropos today.
I think so.
Yeah.
I can still see the shadows and the, you know, the people in the cave.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that was Timothy Conway.
Oh, I think that is the No, wait a minute. Conway, wasn't Timothy Conway the actor, the comedian?
Well, no. This one is... the one who wrote Women of Power and Grace, and he did a book.
Oh, that's right. Did I get his name? Isn't Timothy? Was it Conway and something else? I'll have to go back into your archives and look at that again.
Yeah, he really wrote a fantastic book, and I think that there were 12 or 13 women that he focused on, and they were all. I mean, it's absolutely amazing the lives that they led. And the suffering that they went through to become awakened masters. And one of them is alive today, and that's she's called Amma the Divine Mother.
Oh, yeah.
She's the sitting guru.
Yeah.
But people sit on her lap all day until everybody's had a chance to experience her, and she stays as long as it's necessary.
Well... we're going to get to the point that people will not need to suffer to gain awakening.
Yes.
See, that's all just part of the trap of the Matrix. Make it painful for people to start inching their way out of the Matrix.
Right. Well, now, what do the Proterians say about the incarnational process being somehow subverted?
Simply transcended.
Hmm.
Okay, now, for decades here, they've always chided us. Of course, they like to make fun of us because they just see us as a slapstick comedy here.
Right.
And so they say, okay, this is really great. You're on the hamster wheel of karma and reincarnation. and you've got these ridiculously short lifespans, and you come in for 70 years and you're dead, and you come back in for 70 years and you're dead, and you come back for 70 years and you're dead, and then you come in and you live for 85 years and you're dead, and then you come back and you die at age 22 on a battlefield, and you know, there you are, dead again. And so their question was all along, why don't you just live? And the thing is, if you are truly free, you're not tied down to one like biological life form or any specific kind of life form, biological or otherwise. If you're, and as they say, you know, if you're stuck in one dimension, you're not free. If you're stuck on one planet, you're not free. If you're stuck in one embodiment, you are not free. If you are truly free, as the creator, as the field expressing itself in whatever kind of reality, you can become anything or anybody you want to be, go wherever, do whatever. And you could understand that the body is not the frozen sculpture that we've been programmed to believe it is. And it can freely shape shift. It can go through portals and in and out of dimensions and wherever it wants to go. And you can visit all kinds of other worlds and be home in time for dinner.
Well, it does seem like people are starting to realize that to manifest, it's an instantaneous process.
Yeah. Did you see the movie Sphere?
It doesn't ring a bell, but I might have.
Okay. There was this sphere that came to Earth, and if you were near that sphere, then whatever you were thinking would instantly manifest. And at the end, of course, you know, they've got to throw this in there. It was determined by the people in charge of the sphere there that humans aren't ready, so they send it back out into space.
Oh.
Yeah, see, it gave us the ability to completely manifest anything totally, but we're not ready for it.
We never are we, in those things?
Well, we haven't been.
Right.
But there is a portion of our population now stepping into that readiness.
Good.
Yes. And we still don't know how this is all going to play out, and we still may see some massive die-off here. We'll see how it plays out. And it's okay, because these other beings can incarnate on some other planet where these games are still being played. And as Proterian says, they can incarnate there and be limited to their heart's discontent.
That's funny.
Yeah, because if you really believe you need to be on a hamster wheel of karma and reincarnation, fine. There's got to be lots of worlds out there you can choose from. If you really want to live buried in the fear and the anger and the grief and whatever else, yeah, you can probably find that somewhere in the midst of infinity and do it all in spades. Go for the gusto. Thanks anyway. Been there, done that. Bought
right.
The T-shirt. We're done.
Oh, my.
Well, aren't you feeling done?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dunner than done. I'm overcooked. And, you know, my name and my birthday both work out to the number 9, which is completion, so...
Yes, we've talked about that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the tarot card that corresponds with that 9 is known as the Hermit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one who is the wise elder who's up on the snow-capped peaks holding forth that lantern. For the people who are still down in the valleys.
Well, it does snow here on occasion, and I do have a lantern.
Yeah, and you are up on a hillside there.
And I am up on a hillside, right, and I am a hermit.
There you go. Yeah, the word hermit is okay because, as a lot of us know, it's lonely at the top.
Right.
Yeah, the hermit
and of course
knows
we know that there are many people at the top that are, you know, doing the same thing.
Well, sure. You know, you get up on top of your mountain that you
right.
work so hard to get on top of, and you get up there and you realize, oh, wow, look at all those other mountains.
Right.
And they've all got somebody holding that lantern out there.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that there are a lot more people living down in the valleys than up on those peaks.
True.
And often when somebody has strong 9s in the chart, I will ask a question, which is actually a title of an old article that was so cool. The article had a title was so good you didn't need to read the article.
Wow.
Okay, and the question was, are you alone or strategically placed.
Good. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tend to internalize things, and, the emotional body will often make us feel as if we're the only ones, and poor me, but we're not victims, and we certainly, if we're aware, we know that we're always in the right place at the right time.
And, yeah, like the whole poor me thing, that's part of the Matrix programming, too, getting people to always look for something outside of themselves to blame.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm this way because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, huh? If we accept 100% responsibility for ourselves and what we've manifested, then we are stepping into our own divine creative power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're throwing it away when we want to look out there and point the finger of judgment. It's because of that it did it to us.
Right. Well, I got a big dose of not doing that when I did the S training, and Werner said that it had us tell our stories and why we're the way we are, and it pretty much flattened everybody when it was shown that that's just a story. It's a subjective
yes.
story, and it's basically a tale told by idiots. So the story isn't the reality.
Yeah, and so. Yeah, are you the experience, or are you the experiencer? See, most people think they are the experience. They are that story.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. They identify with that. But we could be both.
Well, okay, we are the experience. We are the experiencer. But then who is this who's talking about the experiencer? Okay. The witness. Okay, now we're
the witness. There you go.
Okay, so, yeah, we are the experience, we are the experiencer, and we are the witness. And wait, who's this talking about the witness? Oh, we're the observer. Okay, so.
Right, right.
And you keep following that, and you end up, well, in the infinite.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, it's this way because of all that is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all just part of the field. And so within the context of this reality, yes, we will say that there are things here that no longer resonate with us, and so we're simply going to shift our attention and our creative energy into things that do resonate with us.
Mm-hmm.
And
right, and then when you're creating out of joy and, happiness and your own creativity and compassion and love and those things, then you're living a different life than you would if you were living at the effect of things.
Yeah. And also, it might be wise for us to get off our high horses when we look out at the world, because we can look at, like, what goes on with the corporate structure out here, you know, the banksters and all of that, and the way they own and operate the countries, you know.
Right.
Like, I do mention in the article here that the kings and queens and presidents and premiers and premiers and whoever they are, prime ministers, whoever, that they're all looked upon as the minion class.
Right.
You know, that's all they are. And it's like, okay, you know, we can look at the games they're playing, but, if we judge it, if we, you know, get angry about it, et cetera, they're sucking our energy right into them.
That's right.
And we just don't need to go there.
That's right.
I mean, it's all just part of the field.
That's right.
Yeah.
You mentioned the article several times. Is that a new one beyond the last one that you did?
I just did this one. In fact, I wrote it on 9/11.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I was just feeling those energies and just poured that article out there.
And where would we be able to find that?
Okay, now if you know how to go to Laura Bruno's blog, you can just Google that and find that. You can go there and type that into the search, or just type my name into the search. It's the most recent thing that comes up pertaining to me. Or, again, go to my website, go to the articles page, and there's a link directly to Laura Bruno's blog at the top of that page.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. And I do have some of my old fun articles there on that page.
Oh, good, good. Which one do you like the best?
Oh, wow. Ooh.
It was the most fun to write.
Oh, the most fun to write?
Yeah.
The ones I have at the top, because I, ended up doing a follow-up to it, but one was called Your Game Review.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, our dear friend, Nellia Benz, sent me an email after that one came out and said that was the funniest thing she had read in forever.
That's great. That's great. I love her.
Yeah. And she's one of those awakened beings who came in here from elsewhere to help shift the energy of this planet so we could finally transcend the matrix. And actually, in some ways, we're going to hack into the mainframe and reprogram it to make it fun.
Well, it's about time.
Yes. In fact, it's exactly about time, yes.
Yes, and speaking of time, we're almost out of time on the show, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you have about 4 or 5 minutes to wrap things up. And
so we don't have to panic.
No, no panic. You don't have to run through the door and red lights going off.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, watch for the unveilings as they happen in all areas, because we've got lots of things happening in the Earth and in the atmosphere, up in the sky, all kinds of wild things happening. We're seeing clouds do things that we've never seen clouds do before, and all kinds of wild stuff is going on as the Earth is affected by lots of things, because we not only have the cabal playing their games with their weather machines and whatever else they're doing, that's a long story. Anyway, we've also got the incoming, so watch on that level and watch the show out there. And I cannot recommend watching it on corporate television.
Right.
You're just going to get hoodwinked and brainwashed and mesmerized and programmed and misled.
Exactly. It's hard to find sources that are relatively accurate or reasonably true. Do you have any sources that you can think of off the top of your head that people can most likely get information from?
Oh, that would be a good idea. But I go to, in any given month, I will go to over 100 different sources.
Right.
Because I don't rely on any one or even a handful of them.
Right, I don't either.
Yeah. So off the top of my head, there's not really one that I would recommend, like, this is the truth and the way.
Right. The Zany Mystic Show.
There you go, yeah.
Right.
Because with shows like this, that's really where I get a lot of the good information.
Mm-hmm.
And get turned on.
There's tons of them, too, out there.
Yeah. Well, like, for example, earlier today I had some time, and so I listened to another interview with Ole Damegaard.
Oh, good, my old friend Ole.
Yeah, you've had him on the show, and he does such spectacular research into the whole false flag thing. And
yeah.
Did you know that with the censorship that's been going on with the tech giants, like if you're on YouTube or whatever else, you get censored if you even use the term false flag now?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yes, because they're panicking.
Yeah.
They are being revealed to be the criminals that they've been all along. And, they're the real creepazoids, and it's becoming obvious, so they have to, censor and ban and so forth. And so what some of these people are starting to do is call it bogus banner.
That's funny.
Because if you use false flag, oops, they take your video down.
But
if you call it a bogus banner attack, they haven't caught on to that one yet.
Well, then I'll know what it means when I see it.
Yeah, it's just another one of the great tricks that the system has done for a long, long time.
Yeah.
To stage an attack against, like Operation Northwoods.
Uh-huh.
If you remember that one during the Kennedy administration?
I do not.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, see, these big military brass wanted to stage a terror attack against our people and kill a whole mess of them and frame the Cubans for it. And that would give us our excuse to invade Cuba.
Oh, brother.
All right, and Jack Kennedy said, this is insane.
Thank you.
Yes, and just, trashed the whole idea. Of course, we know what happened to him.
Right.
Yeah, because there are a lot of their programs that he just wasn't going to go along with.
Yes, quite a few.
Yeah, and, the previous president who had taken a bullet and died from it was William McKinley.
Oh.
And that was around around the turn of the century, around 1900 back in there. And that's because he had set up the country so that it could run with no federal taxes at all.
Oh, nice.
Yes, it was supported completely on tariffs.
Well, see, anything that's positive like that, that doesn't involve us having the money hoovered out of our pockets, is usually put to death pretty quickly.
Well, that's what happened. He took the bullet and he died just the way JFK did. So, but we're to the point where there are other forces at work. You know, we've got lots of different ET groups and so forth who are now really actually stepping in and playing a more proactive role because there is sufficient awakening in our collective field that they are welcome to come in now.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
And good, so, that's good news.
Yeah, and so that's only going to increase. And it's going to become more and more obvious, we are not alone.
Never have been, never will be.
That's right.
So, well, Tim, I think we are just about out of time. And if you wanted to mention your website one more time before we sign off, so
well,
people
yeah,
can find you and get a reading because you're very reasonable and you're the best reader in town, then
no,
that would
you.
Be nice, too.
Coolness. All right, well, it's soulpurposereadings.com. It's S-O-U-L, soul purpose, like, why the hell did you think this was a good idea? yeah, well, on this level, in the midst of this game, we might question the soul's wisdom, but ultimately we'll see, wow, there really is rhyme and reason. There's method to the madness.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we ended on an upbeat note, so I want to thank you for coming back again and sharing your wit and wisdom, and we'll talk to you soon in the near future.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Good night, everybody.